This is Singularity, a sacred scripture study. You are listening to episode 21. Today we cover part 5 of chapter 3 in A Course in Miracles. I am Angie, your host of Singularity, a podcast where we're not afraid to ask the questions that lead us to our truth. Each season we'll be discussing our way through a different sacred or inspired text. Join us with Season 1 as we find our truths in A Course in Miracles, the advent or beginning of a great awakening. And just as the Course itself will tell you, this is but one version of the universal curriculum. There are many others, this one only differing in form. They all lead to God in the end. So go ahead and grab your coffee. Have your pen and paper handy and the text if you have it. Don't forget, a free version is available online at acourseinmiraclesnow.com. Now the journey in discovering our truths starts right now. Here we go. Welcome back, Miracle Makers. I am so glad again that you're taking this time for yourself today, and I'm so blessed to know that you're sharing it with me. So today we're going to cover part 5 of chapter 3, Beyond Perception. So what I always do is I'll go through and I'll read the part of each chapter. And for this week, I read part 5, and I just go through paragraph by paragraph. And with each paragraph, I take it really sentence by sentence and break it down to what I'm reading as far as truths that rise from me and what I feel the Course is trying to say to me. And then I share those thoughts with you. So we'll start with paragraph 1. Our true abilities far surpass our limited ideas of what we actually think we're capable of doing. The reason we have such limited ideas is because of our perception of the physical world, including our bodies. Perceptions are many judgments by nature, and perception is only possible within the separate mindset. In the separation, no one can be truly sure of anything. But when we align our will with the will of God's, or align our consciousness with the universal consciousness, our knowledge will return to us, and we will be certain of our truth. Understand this as we continue with the text. Paragraph 2. In the current separated mind, we have two words that have become very confused and even used in conjunction with each other, the words create and make. However, it's important to know that the true meaning of these words depends entirely on where they rise up from within us. If what you are expressing out into the world comes from a place of, oh, this is lacking, so let me make this. When we make something for a specific need or lack, we are saying we believe there is a need or lack. What we made is exclusive or limited and not inclusive. But when we create, what results is something that includes all. And in order for something to include all, it must come from love. When we do this, when we create from love, it touches and uplifts everything. It's impossible for it not to, on some level, raise the entire love vibration. For one, when we create from love, this is limitless, meaning that what we've created keeps giving. Two, we raise our vibration, and we are connected to everything, so when we raise our vibration, we do so for all. However, if we create from lack or need, this lowers our vibration, making something that's limited. This has a lot to do with why so much of our thought process doesn't make much sense. Ego has created a lot of these false thought processes, and if they have just enough sense to them, we grab a hold of the thought pretty much without question, making them our beliefs. Paragraph 3. Knowing is knowing. It isn't doing. Doing is something entirely different. In our mind, we have completely confused what we create with what we have made, to the point where it is almost impossible for us to truly know anything. We are unstable, and to reach knowledge, we must be stable, because knowing is stable. Now, when we are in the true state of how God created us, we are perfectly stable. So when we choose to be unstable, in that instability, our minds push back God's idea of our creation for egos. Paragraph 4. We can't continue to ask ourselves the fundamental question that we've been asking ourselves. What am I? When we ask ourselves this, what we're saying is, A, we don't have the knowing already, and B, we believe we can somehow evolve the answer as to what we are. when we can't understand our unlimited self while we are in this limited mindset. What we are has already been established by our Creator. Our true self isn't seen or understood within the limits of physical perception. In our limited mindset, we perceive, and our unlimited self has no image to be viewed in this way. Image is related to perceiving. Knowing has no image. Images are symbols that are dependent on the who, what, where, when, why of the observer. When we say we want to change our image, we are feeding into the idea we have about perception. We are also denying stability. Paragraph 5. Knowing isn't open to interpretation, so we can attempt to interpret the meaning of something, but this can lead to misunderstandings. This is because we are seeking the answers as a body separate from our true knowing. We use our five senses or physical impulses to seek our truth because we continue to see ourselves as the body, separated and unseparated at the same time. And the mind, when it thinks it is the body, is easily confused, and our confusion continues to build by adding more confusion. And then this fog prevents us from seeing our path to knowing. In this state, our minds have become very clever and inventive within the fog. But the why and the how we go about bringing our inventions into fruition gets disconnected. So we stay busy in the mind inventing this world of illusion as a pointless attempt to avoid the fact that none of it's real. An inventive mind is definitely not the same as a knowing mind, because knowing requires zero inventiveness. Inventive thinking, though brilliant in its own right, isn't the kind of thinking that sets us free from our limited beliefs. But when we are willing to just let go, it will free us from thinking we need to have this cleverness or inventiveness to survive. Paragraph 6. Prayer is a way of asking for something. It is the pipeline between us and the miracle. Remember, there is no lack, meaning no needs. So prayer isn't asking for something we are lacking. Prayer, when we use it, is really us saying, okay, I'm totally acknowledging right now that there is something greater than me out there, and I'm able to have direct communication with it at any time. I mean, are we not? We've all shot out a prayer or the equivalent at some point, regardless to what we call the receiving end of it. In coarse terms, we are saying, hey, I realize I'm connected at this moment and that I'm worthy of this connection. In other words, it's a forgiveness. When we pray, we are releasing guilt, receiving forgiveness from the error of ever thinking we were separate or unworthy. And the Course tells us here, and I quote, "Those who have been forgiven have everything." The why here is because the forgiving is a realigning, an adjustment allowing us to see we were never capable of lacking anything. Once we accept this, then prayer ceases to be because our communication or pipeline is always open. There is no going in or out of prayer. We are in a constant state of communication. So prayer in the sense that it is used now is obsolete. When we decided to use our senses to perceive less and less from love and more through the mindset of fear, we believed our only way to get to wholeness again must be done through the physical, because it's the only way we see ourselves. In this mindset, we have forgotten our knowing that we are a miracle of our Creator, and that creating is our only function. Paragraph 7. In this paragraph, the Course gives us the meaning behind created in the image of God. The word image has become a symbol for us that mostly relate to thought. However, likeness would be the new word to implant here because the symbol it holds for us is more as of a like quality. It's very important to know this because we think, oh goodness, why are we taking so much time on just one word? Because even though it sounds as simple as two words closely related, barely different, in fact, synonyms in our language, actually when carried into our subconscious mind makes a huge difference as to what mindset is fed. Here's the message. Spirit is the thought of God and an aspect of God. Quote, there is nothing else. Perception is seeing with a belief in less or more. The Course also says it's a constant process of evaluating and judging in order to select. Paragraph 8. When there is perfect equality, there is no need for judgment, making perception impossible. Truth can only be known. Truth is whole and can't be divided up into levels. The Course says it in such a beautiful way, I have to use the quote here. All of it, meaning truth, is equally true, and knowing any part of it is to know all of it. Perception, however, exists only when we are partially aware. It is very limited because of our limited beliefs about what is possible to see. But knowing transcends all of these laws surrounding our perception, because to know is whole. And in wholeness, there is no missing pieces for ego to fill in with its untruths. To be one with knowing is to really just know ourselves, what we are, what we are from, and what our function is. The Course says, we are God's miracle, and to know His miracle is to know Him. Paragraph 9. From the text it says, forgiveness is the healing of the perception of separation. Correcting our perception goes for all of us because all our minds have chosen to see ourselves as separate. We forget spirit is always one with God. This is its beautiful function. However, we're also lost on this idea. It's hard to fathom we contain this incredibly beautiful function of always being one with God. Ego likes to distract us in every way possible from this truth, even going so far as to use guilt thoughts of unworthiness. Ego also tells us the story we've all come to believe, which is, we can't possibly have everything. Because if we have everything, then there wouldn't be anything else. And this is simply not true. Because when we are all whole, we are spirit, the thoughts of God. Paragraph 10. Where there is perception, prayer exists. Perception comes from thoughts of lack, and when we perceive it means we haven't fully accepted the atonement for ourselves or given our mind over to our truth. Perception is the basis for the separate mindset, so any who perceive are in need of healing. The Course says, communication, not prayer, is the natural state of those who know, and God and His miracle are inseparable. Our function, the joy of it all, is living from our truth knowing we are spirit. Our worth can't be seen as we see now because our worthiness is beyond any doubt. And doubt plays a big role in that we currently perceive ourselves. Keyword there, perceive. We are told to not limit the way we see ourselves and our light. Instead, in the clarity of the whole light, know we are the miracle. That wraps up this episode. The thoughts I share in each podcast are my best interpretation of what resonated as truth for me. I love to share them with you. My intention is to evoke your own thoughts that will make rise within your awareness your own truth. Thank you for being a part of my journey and for allowing me to be a part of yours. With your coffee still warm and your notes fresh, take some time to go inward. Align yourself daily with your truth and take it with you into every experience. And until next time, keep shining.